This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shanning. We are running a poll today on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, how do you get to work? Is it by personal vehicle? Is it by public transport, ride sharing or e-hailing, or by some other method that we haven't had the space to put on in our poll? Do let us know which of these it is. The reason we're asking is because the National Transport Policy is set to be launched later today, and it's going to be a blueprint for the transport sector from 2019 to 2030. And it's got a few aims, right? And the main one is to develop a sustainable transport sector in order to accelerate economic growth.
Yep. For the first time, actually, according to Deputy Transport Minister Dato Kamaruddin Jaffa, they are coming up with a strategic plan. I guess this is a good and bad thing. Good that you're coming up with it, and bad that, okay,
it's the first time.
It's only now that we're thinking about this.
Yeah, I think, better late than never, right,
at Absolutely.
The end of the day. Well, the NTP will be driven by, of course, 5 policy thrusts, which is to strengthen the governance by creating a conducive environment for transport sector, optimize, build and maintain these infrastructure, enhance safety, integration, connectivity, looking at the green transport system, and, of course, expanding the global footprint and in promoting the internationalization of our transport services.
Now, one of the main things to watch here, of course, is the government's plan for public transport and how it feeds into urban development. Previously, there were a lot of complaints by netizens regarding last-mile connectivity as well as inefficient road systems. And I think it's not just netizens, it's also us here in the studio on a practically daily basis.
Who are also netizens.
Yes, true.
To a great extent, I think.
So for some comments into this morning, we have on the line with us Charlie Ko, an urban planner and the CEO of Urban Metry, a property and housing data company. Thank you for joining us, Charlie. Now, how much does public transportation actually feed into the development of a city?
Well, it is, of course, extremely important because we need to move around in the city. That's a premise of how a city is actually formed. So I give you a very simple example, right? So if you have a sprawling city in which it is very horizontally designed, in which you have low density and a lot of houses or a lot of development that's going across the city, then you will need a lot of road. And it's actually the other way around as well. Like a lot of roads also, or a lot of highways also lead to more horizontal expansion of the city. Well, if you, let's say, go towards a public transport mode, if you have a very, very strong public transport mode, then your city will start to densify. It will start to sort of congregate around the public transport system and basically develop along the artery, because people need to move around, so they tend to gravitate back to how they can move around the city. So the strength of a public transport system actually determines whether the city goes vertically or horizontally.
So to bring it back locally, in relation to the situation here in Malaysia, what are our main issues that we currently face for public transportation?
The fundamental issue is that we are now building the public transportation to solve commuting in an existing city. That means our city are already functioning. It's already built. So you're sort of stacking the public transport on top of where people are living, where people are working. So it is best so that the city is responding to the public transport. We are trying to get the public transport to respond to the city, which is actually a lot harder than having like an older public transportation like London Tube, for example. It was there, and then development starts to densify from there. There are possibilities of having the city to respond over time, very old cities respond over time and put in public transportation. There are successes around the world, it's not an issue. I think, but it is a challenge, right? Because your current city is already very landlocked. There's not a lot of land. So everybody's competing for the same piece of land. Your park needs the land, your housing needs the land. A very simple example, if you ask a standard Malaysian on the road today, whether will they give up their federal highway and put public transportation on federal highway, half of them will tell you you're mad, right? Because the existing infrastructure is already there, there's already a standard way that people are already living. For them to change their behaviour is a challenge.
So in that sense, what are the main things the government should focus on, especially the core issues they should address in the National Transport Policy?
Well, They are going to launch it already, so I'm quite excited to see what they have. But fundamentally, I hope that they have made this planning based on data, because a lot of times the transportation planning is based on what an ideal plan is, or, you know, something that is pretty much a long, maybe a contractor or a construction company's wish list. But fundamentally, what transportation does is you're trying to move people around. So having a strong understanding of where people are currently living and where the job centers are is fundamental in planning transport. But sometimes I feel like, you know, data in Malaysia is extremely hard to get, or clean data is in the wish list. So I am hoping that the plan that's coming out is based on data, where people are currently working, where people are currently living, and aspirations towards where they should be living and where they should be working in the future.
And what about this last mile connectivity issue that we always see? How can the government address that?
Well, that's the thing, right? So, you know, this last mile issue is only existing because of how our cities are currently structured. Think about it. If you have a lot of landed properties and you have one station, right, your last mile problem is that much harder to solve than when you have a high-rise building, because the number of destination points become that much higher when you have a sprawl. So it comes hand in hand. How you're planning the city and where you're planning your public transportation needs to come hand in hand in order to solve the last mile issue. You cannot have a public transportation and expect it to arrive at your door, right? But at the same time, you need to be able to service a certain catchment of people with your public transport. So I hope that the public transportation plan is not an independent, like in silo, but it needs to be in line with urban planning, structure plans, as well as the local plan by the councils.
And everyone also complains about traffic jams. So how can policymakers deal with accessibility and congestion?
Yeah, it's quite interesting because people complain, of course, you know, vehicles are not moving and blah, blah, and the first thing they think of is the road is not wide enough, right? But, you know, look around when you're driving, right? A lot of people are actually in single passenger vehicles. They are inside a car themselves, but the amount of space that they take on the road is actually quite a lot. So solving the issue of congestion is not a function of how much highways is there or how wide is the highway. It is a behavioral problem. It is how we are conditioned to live in the city. Like, are we comfortable sharing a vehicle with somebody? Is our aspirations towards, like, me, myself, and I in a car, or is our aspirations towards using public transport? You know, we do have to ask ourselves, like, what kind of lives we want to live and how collectively that would look like in a city.
Thank you very much, Charlie. And that was Charlie Koh, an urban planner and the CEO of Urbanmetry, a property and housing data company. Now, when she was talking there about highways and how the general reaction to congestion on a highway is to say we need to build a larger highway, I was just thinking about the situation in the KL City Centre right now, because you are seeing so many highways currently under construction. It looks as if there is construction scaffolding everywhere you turn. And it does feel very shoehorned in. Do you know what I mean? Like,
terrible.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, this is the situation, so you tack on an extra highway in order to solve the congestion problem.
Correct. And if you look at the nearby neighborhood here, right, Damansara Perdana, where right now there is a highway that's being constructed right in the middle of what used to be a neighborhood, a township. So 10 years ago, you bought an apartment there, and right now, in front of your apartment, there is this overhead highway. Very true what Charlie is saying, it's not about building more roads and widening roads and building on more highways, but it's about individual, how you live your life, the collective life, right? And that philosophy, I think, is very hard to push through among Malaysians.
Yeah, and this is against the backdrop, guys. You know, when I think about it, about our, let's say, petrol subsidies in some way, right? You still, the messaging is a bit conflicted, because yes, I think there's this drive towards public public transport.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. But you're still putting money into people's pockets to buy the petrol, isn't it? So where is the priority? Is it to push people more into public transport, or is it to still allow people to drive? I mean, and at the same time, our government has to resolve some of these issues, which are real, especially, let's say, we talk about the last mile connectivity. One of the excuses people always say about driving is that, okay, fine, you know, I can take the train to work, but I can't get to the train station, for example. So it's too much hassle. I might as well just drive all the way. So you need to iron out all this. Otherwise, our problems will continue. We will have congestion and people will still be driving everywhere.
Okay, so I have been that person putting forward that argument that you just made there, Shanning, right? Because I did the calculations once upon a time when I was considering whether or not to commute to work. And it would take me 20 minutes to get to a train station without a car. If I cycled, I could cut that down to 10 minutes, but then I wouldn't be able to take the bicycle onto the trains, so that would be a problem. Getting to the Bandar Utama MRT station would take another about 20 minutes, and then there's the challenge of getting to the office from there, which would take another 15 minutes. So all in all, it would take about three times longer than it would if I just drove. So that was the reason for my just deciding to just say, you know what, never mind, stick with my single person passenger vehicle. So
I think that really accurately describes the crux of the problem right now, because we are all about building more infrastructure, more roads, more highways, more toll roads and so on, right?
Yeah.
And now people are trying to court Plus as well, to buy over Plus, because it's so lucrative, and that's a result of our own behavior. But the thing is here is how can we optimize the public transportation system? It's not, I think I agree with Charlie, it's not in building more roads and highways, but it's more about building transportation nodes so that you, Lin, wouldn't mind walking 3 minutes to the nearest transportation node to get to where you want to.
Indeed, but right now we do have to end this conversation. We have, taking a look at the poll results, 60% of the 100-odd votes we've received have said that they use personal vehicles to get to work. 37% said public transport. So for those of you who do use public transport, good on you. We'll be continuing this conversation a little bit later, but right now we're heading into the 8 o'clock news. And after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Wong Shaning will be speaking with Dato' Lee Kim Miao, Managing Director of Top Glove. So be sure to stay tuned for that fascinating conversation after the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.